Dr. Doris Lucky Hilda Allen, born May 9th, 1927 in El Paso, Texas. I first met Lucky in 2016 when I was working on a documentary theater piece for grad school about American women who served in the Vietnam War. I knew that Lucky was a highly respected woman of the military, having served 3 one-year tours in Vietnam and a military career that spanned over 30 years. I quickly learned that whether it was a story about her time in the military or otherwise, every story about Lucky was about the people that joined her for that journey. Because before the interview even began, she took Petal and I, a woman who I brought with me for the interview, on a tour around her hometown of Oakland. And little did I know, the interview had already begun. She was showing us all the parts of her life that were most important to her, the people. We eventually settled in a park that she chose. And although there was a heavy wind behind her, it's the part and the place that felt right. The interview lasted for 3 hours and it could have gone on for 3 years. In their footsteps, the 55-minute piece that you just heard, one of the hardest parts of cultivating it was deciding which of Lucky's stories to put in there. Not just because they were all fascinating stories, because they were events that people needed to know. So in 2018, when Lucky came to New York City to see the play, I asked if she'd be willing to share just a little bit more about herself with everyone else, with a talkback. We were all fortunate that she agreed. She asked for the cast to be behind her, for me to be in front of her, and then to an audience filled with acquaintances, old and new. Lucky did what she did best. She surrounded herself with love and support and told the stories of her life with a little Lucky twinkle in her eye. What you're about to hear is that 2018 talkback, followed by an added audio from that 2016 interview, so people can hear a little bit more about Lucky from the source itself. Because unfortunately, on June 11th, 2024, a few weeks after her 97th birthday, Lucky left this world. And we want to make sure that her story and her legacy never does.
No, I'm 91 years old. I thank God I am here. It's hard getting up the steps and getting down the steps, but I went through the election, and I survived. It wasn't easy, but I'm here in one piece. Does anybody want to ask me anything you want to ask me? Yes, I was in military intelligence. I'm a member of the Hall of Fame, military intelligence, and a few more things. But you can ask me anything, and I will answer it as truthfully as I possibly can. Come on, somebody.
How long were you in?
Yes, sir.
How long were you in the
What's he say?
How long were you in the military?
I was in the military 30 years, sir. Mm-hmm. I spent 3 years in Vietnam.
So one of the questions that Petal, who came and did the interviews with me, had asked is, after going through everything that we heard that Lucky went through, how do you keep staying in the military after, you know, the story with Tets, and then 1 year later? And so if you want to maybe talk a little bit about that.
As many of you heard, there were lots of things that came out of Vietnam that weren't nice. One of the biggest things was, it was a wrong, I believe, it was a wrong war, but we were in it, and I think the women, and I know the women, we did the job the best, as best we could. When I went to Vietnam, I went because I wanted to go, and I think while I was there that I did more good than I did harm. I think I helped save lots of lives. I don't think that everybody just wanted to be there taking lives, but a lot of us, I think, helped save a lot of lives. As far as being bitter is concerned, I was in, excuse my expression, please, I was in deep shit before I left for Vietnam, and it hasn't changed that much. But I'm still, I believe that God is on my side, and I can still smile, and I can still be happy, and I can still, like, travel, I can do all those things, and I am not mad at, I ain't mad at nobody.
Have you been back to Vietnam, and if you have, did you reconcile any issues that you might have had during your time there?
I will never, ever, ever go back to Vietnam. A lot of people have asked me, why don't you go? It's a really pretty, pretty country. No, I was part of the mess up. Mm-hmm. They cleaned it up. I'm not going back. And I have a thing in my book that says, why do people kill people? To show people that killing people is wrong. And I believe that even now we're still doing the same thing. And no, I won't go back to Vietnam. Would I go back to the military? No.
Took me back 50 years. I served in Vietnam. Thank you, ladies. You did a wonderful job of kind of pulling at my heartstrings, you know, what really happened there. I was at the tent 68, 69, 70. I served in the Marine Corps. I was a sniper in Special Forces. We had the reconnaissance up in Cambodia. But we never really were not there, you know. All the stuff that was told to the GIs when they pulled them out, they sent them back, transferred them back down to from the 3rd Marine down to the 1st Marine. The only place they moved to was to another base. But thank you so much for the intelligence that the government never actually used out in the field, because that isn't what they were there for. They were there to exploit a country. That's exactly what they did. That's why they had the big fancy hotels there and the beaches and everything. But thank you so much. Yeah.
And this part is not related in the book, but I was credited with saving 101 lives at 3rd Math. There was it came to me that there was a chemical round, chemical mortar round. And what happened is that the enemy had started putting little chemical vials in the mortar rounds. And so when the mortar round would hit, it would not explode at that time, but it would break the vial. And afterwards, it would go off. And I wrote it all up and sent it up to 3rd Math. One of the commanders read it, and the attack came in on he read it that Wednesday, and on Friday they had an attack, and a mortar round hit, and he told his troops not to bother with it, and it's a good thing because after it exploded afterwards, and he wrote back to headquarters that whoever wrote that intelligence report should be given the Legion of Merit. Well, I didn't get the Legion of Merit, but that 3 bronze stars. But just the very fact of writing something that saved lives, it was to me it was really great. And I thank you, Marines.
Thank you.
I even like some of you. Yes, ma'am.
This is like not a serious question, really. But I wonder, like, when I watch movies about Vietnam, they always show, like, all the Americans eating the MREs and, like, Pepsi and, like, all that. Did you eat Vietnamese food at all, or you just ate, like, the MREs shipped in from America?
Did you eat the Vietnamese food when you were there, or did you eat the food that was shipped in from America when you were in Vietnam?
I worked in the operations center. We had no foreign people to come into our operations center. That was when I was at the operations center. Then I my last assignment in Vietnam was in Saigon, and I was officer in charge of the military translation, the enemy translation branch at CDEC, which is the Combined Documents Exploitation Center. And I was in charge of all of the documents that we were captured, that they came across my desk, and I was in charge of that section. And I naturally had to work with Vietnamese at that time. Other Vietnamese I worked with was at our hooch, because we had maid service. But even then, at noontime, some of them would go out and wave flags and fly kites. And we came to the conclusion that those kites were sending messages to the enemy. So we came across that also. So as far as I still haven't met a Vietnamese I don't like.
Did you eat any of the food?
Everything I could.
The Vietnamese food?
Everything I could.
Was it good?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, what we do is when we go overseas, I've been quite a few places, but the first thing they tell you is don't eat the food off the street. and that's the first play I think. It's some good stuff.
Is there the most happiest memory that you can share in Vietnam? Like a happy moment, like the most
happy moments in Vietnam?
Yeah,
lots of them. Lots and lots of them. One was happy to be able to tell the general to zip his pants up and nobody else. Pull his zipper up and everybody got, the guys got angry with, got upset with me. Because I told the general, I said, your fly's down. And everybody got really upset with me because I told him, I said, and for me that was a happy moment because, you know, to see people walk around and let somebody look terrible and don't say anything about it. You know, I think we all should do that. Another happy moment was being able to go to the Bob Hope show, and I really was perplexed in a way. But when I walked up the hill, and like she depicted, I always kept my uniform, I was sharp. I would sit down all day, work all day, and everybody was all sweaty and stuff, and my uniform, and I sat on the end of my chair, hooked my legs out so I could keep the creases, worked hard all day for 10, 12 hours, and I'd still look okay. But that day at the show, I'd even sit there, and I walked up pretty still sharp. And when I got up that hill, and I saw that young man sit up there, and it was just, I don't know what, I guess God just drew me to him. But when I got up there he stood, and a whole group of guys had stood down. They had just come off the field. He looked terrible, and he was really dirty, and I was clean. And I walked over to him, I threw a big kiss on him. He threw his rifle down and says, I don't need nobody, and I don't need no rifle. Mm. And that was a happy moment for me to be able to do that, even though I was kind of like, why'd you do that? But at least one guy was happy. And there were several of them I'm not going to tell you about. Yes, sir.
Women's Memorial this weekend.
I was there when they first dedicated it.
Yeah.
And Vice President Gore made a statement, and he said, he cited one person from World War II, a person from Korea, a person from Vietnam, and he read my name, and I said, and I didn't hear him at first. Everybody said, here she is. I said, and yes, I was there for that, and I do go, and I'm still, it's hard for me to go to the wall in a sense, because I still believe that maybe 2,000 of those people, names on the wall belong to me, because had they listened to the Tet Offensive, I think they could have been saved, maybe more. Mm. After I left the military,
yes,
I went and finished my PhD, and I graduated in June. I had a very bad accident in August, but I still had my PhD. And they still call me Dr. Lucky. I do lots of mentoring.
What do you do your PhD in?
I am a psychologist, mm-hmm. organizational development, uh-huh. And I'll tell you a really quick story about that. When I was doing my PhD, we had a class, and I was my turn to speak, and I wrote upon the board THE. I was writing therapist, so I wrote THE, and I turned around and was talking to the students. When I turned back around, I wrote the rest of the word, which was rapist, R-A-P-I-S-T, and right then and there, I decided that I did not want to. It being behavioral psychology, because mm-hmm. it's you can do so much. Mm. It might be wrong, it might be right, but that's what I do. And right now, I'm a mentor, especially for those people who do not want to finish. Oh, I can't finish this. Oh, it's too hard. No, I'm not going to finish it. So I like to encourage people that you can do it. So that's where I am. But what happened, a quick story.
Yes.
20 years prior to my being inducted into the Hall of Fame, I got a call from somebody, and he said, we're thinking about wanting to, you know, honor you, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. So he even came to the house, And we talked a little bit. Then he said, okay, thank you for the information. He went back to Fort Huachuca. I heard no more about it. So 20 years later, I got a letter. I got a phone call, got a letter, got a phone call from General Carson. Carson, yeah. Anyway, he was the commander. And he said, we want to put you in the Hall of Fame. I said, wow. What had happened is the man that first was doing the work, he got transferred out. And they got put somewhere in whatever. And when this commander got there, and he was looking over the putting the Hall of Fame and stuff, and he saw the papers, and he says, "Right now, she's got to go in right now." So.
And just because you didn't mention it, because you got your PhD.
Yes.
In what was your PhD?
I'm a psychologist, but in organizational development. Uh-huh. When I first went there, I wanted to get in study disabilities, and they were going to have something for that, but then they didn't follow through on having the. So my dissertation was written about disabilities. So.
Did you find help from other veteran organizations when you came back? Did you feel that they were as welcoming to Vietnam veterans as they were to other war veterans?
Nobody invited anybody. Nobody liked anybody except the Vietnam Veterans of America.
And
I went to join American Legion down in Los Angeles. And only reason they let me join was because my brother happened to be a member. But that wasn't the kind that let me. But I went to, what they did, every time I went to American Legion, they'd say, okay, go to that table right there. Proud to have you. And it was always the auxiliary. I said, no, I'm military. I said, well, okay, all right. Okay. Then, okay, but go over that table. That happened with the American Legion, and it happened with the VFW and somebody else. It didn't happen with the DAV, but. Then I joined. I'm a life member of all of them, so I can walk in the door just as soon as they say, if they say something, well, you don't, I belong here. I'm a life member, not what's your problem.
Awesome. And the last two things is the Vietnam Veterans Wall. Have you visited it?
The wall?
The wall.
Yes, and I still think 2,000 belong to me. It's a sad thing.
Yeah. And the memorial for the women, the Vietnam Women's Memorial.
I smile because my sister's on the wall. My sister's in it too, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that's a very good thing. But so many of us women still don't want to be a part, don't want to say I was in the military. Don't ask me why. I do not know. I'm glad I was in the military.
And if you had any advice for any young girls who were joining in the military now, which is it's different. Would you have any, what advice would you give them?
Will you regret not having gone because you wanted to go? When it comes to us, I sure wish I had gone. Let nobody make up your mind for you. Because either you'll say, I sure wish I had joined. But my mom said, blah, blah. Or they thought such and such. Don't do that to yourself. Be all that you can be. If you want to go in the military, so go in and stay for 2 years or whatever and get out. But you will have satisfied that you have in you. It's yours, it's not theirs. You have to have your own orgasm.
And just for girls in general who are growing up, young girls right now, during this crazy time, one bit of advice is
your mama and your daddy can't run your life, but they can direct it. So listen to them. And God is bigger than you think.
Whew.
It actually is one last question. It's a personal question, real quick.
Hurry up.
It's real quick, just because I don't know. Is there any, like, is there a prayer that when you're in, like, a place like Vietnam, that would be the prayer that you would normally say? Is there, like, a prayer at night?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I know the rest of it, but...
No, I just, you know, you talk so much about God that I just wanted, a big part of it was getting personal things from people, whether it was reading your book or hearing about music. And so God was a part of it. So I just wanted to hear if there's a prayer, you know, something, because it felt like it's such a big part of who you are.
So what happens is, you know, people, all these people believe they are atheists, yeah, and agnostics, and it's okay, I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I know why. But it's amazing because, especially when you get into an accident or something, the first thing you do is say, oh my God.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's true.
Jesus. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, again, that's why, you know, it's an interesting thing that people don't think about God and honestly, just even what it means for them. You know, everyone, people have different gods. People have different things that symbolize God.
And I really want to thank you two for doing this. A lot of people care. A lot of people say, thank you for your service. And you seem to want to let people know that we really exist, we're real. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
This is my time to give you a hug.
Oh, I was gonna get back to you for being on your knees all the time. And every time, don't get me wrong, but there's a guy in church, that comes and he kneels before me all the time. And I've been telling him for years, better not do that, baby, because one of these days I'm gonna grab your ears. And they laughed. Oh, lucky, you're crazy. I said, keep on doing it. One of these days.
Yeah, he'll do it. I make a promise, I do.
Hey.
Okay.